see you all here today. Just want to
have baptism of Riley Young. So just pray for Mark and Gina as they'll be making covenant promises, baptismal promises for the young son and for Riley, that he would grow up to know and love the Lord and never depart from the footsteps of the flock. So just commend that one to your care, to your prayers. And also the Easter youth camp there. If you want more info about that, see Jono or Janina. So I'm here in the big smoke. It's a fine big smoke. I went to buy myself some underpants yesterday. Am I allowed to talk about underpants at church? Too late. And I saw this orange watch. It was $5. I said to the fella, "Do those watches go?" He said, "Oh, not those ones. Those are only $2, but you can have that one for $5. It goes. And it's still going. Pretty good, eh? But I'm a bit worried that it looks a bit gay, so just tell me, yeah, be honest. All right, I'm okay. I won't lose. I need my watch. I'm a bit old-fashioned like that. Rob was saying to me, "Nah, you don't need a watch, you've got a cell phone." We're going to go back and just look at that psalm. We read Psalm 118. I just want to read one verse, and that's verse 17. I'm going to have to sort myself out here. I've still got the ESV. But I don't know what version we're going to have up there. It says the same things, just different words. "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." Or it says, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." It says the same thing. "And the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death." Verse 18. I want to speak on this passage here because I guess I feel that this being my first official Sunday here, I want to just share a little bit about myself, explain a little bit about who I am, where I've come from, why I'm standing here today, what drives me, and gives you a little bit of an understanding about myself. I don't intend to do this every Sunday, but I thought today might be a good day to do that. So let's just pray, and then we'll look at these words, and I'll share something of how this affects my life. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for that rain that fell before, that rain that falls down and showers the dry ground to cause the plants to grow. Lord, shower upon us your Spirit. Lord, fill us and anoint us with your Spirit, we pray, so that we would be refreshed and built up and encouraged and strengthened and empowered to serve you. We thank you for the promises of Jesus Christ, which are yes and amen in the gospel. We thank you for your word, a sure word that we can take today, and we can open it, and we can testify of your grace, of your love for us. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Everybody fears death in some way, don't they? I think you'd have to be pretty hard-nosed or probably telling a lie if you said you weren't afraid of death. As a kid, I used to be really terrified that my parents might die when I was a kid. And one of the reasons that contributed to that was that we had a close family friends who, their mum, she had suffered from depression. And it got to her so much that one night she went out into the woodshed and killed herself. And as a kid, that had a really big impact on me. I remember being terrified that something might happen to my own parents. In fact, I remember one night I heard my mum get up and go outside, and I thought, "Where's my mum going?" And I remember sneaking outside after her. She was hanging some washing on the line. Or taking some washing off the line, probably, I can't remember. But I thought I'd keep an eye on her. So it was, you know, I was terrified of that. Now, I grew up in a big whānau. I'm the youngest of eight. My mum had 10 babies. Two died at birth. And we grew up on a farm. It was one of my tūkana here, my older brothers here, Roddy. And we had 1,100 acres. That was our backyard. We played out there. We had rock slides. We had trees. We had everything. We just about died numerous times, you know, on tractors and horses and all that sort of thing, chainsaws, guns, you know. Mum and Dad would go out, we'd get the guns out of the cupboard and play with them and that sort of stuff. Can't do that these days, eh? And so it was a pretty happy childhood. I just had one mum, one dad. They loved us. They gave us food every day. They gave us clothes. They prayed for us. They sent us to school. They cared for us. They did all those things that you need as a kid growing up. And my mum was 44 years old when I was born. So I was an unexpected, you know. I think she was pretty depressed when she discovered that she was pregnant with me. But, you know, she's not depressed now. She's told me that she's okay, that I'm around, so I'm all right. Don't worry about me. My mum, she's still alive. We hope to bring her up here to Auckland to live with us. I grew up in that environment and pretty normal family. We had our ups and downs. We had our fights and arguments and all that sort of thing. But we stuck together and so on. And so here I am today. But, you know, we grew up going to church, but up to a certain age, I can't remember what it was, probably about 12, 13, I decided that church sucked, really. I didn't like church. I thought it was boring. It was embarrassing. I didn't want to, you know, go to be seen by my friends to be going to church because Christians were weirdos. You know, they were freaks. I didn't want to be seen with these Christians. So I started getting into mischief, you know, and the usual things that you get into and that some teenagers will get into. They don't have to, but some do. And it came, this thing when I mentioned before about death came back to haunt me when I was a teenager. Probably, I think I was 17 or 18. One day I was with two of my mates in my car, and we were really stoned. We were really out of it. And one of my friends, he says, Jeff has only got 3 months to live. He's dying of cancer. And I had actually been to the doctor that day because I hadn't been feeling that well, and I don't know what it was. Anyway, we laughed, ha, 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 you know, we laughed. And thought he was just making a joke. But that was like a bolt of lightning. When he said that thing, it went into my heart, you know, and I just totally freaked out. And from that point on, I was counting the days down on the calendar. 3 months. I was counting the days down on the calendar from when my friend said that. It's just crazy, I know. But that's how paranoid I was. And one day I went to church with my parents, and I used to go to church like this. I'd go in, church, you know, it's so boring. Just sit down and switch off, okay? The pastor stands up, time to switch down, time to put down the shutters and go off to Cloud Cuckoo Land, you know? Because the blah, 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 yeah, that's how they used to sound to me when they used to preach, you know? So he was doing, you know? And then he stops and he says this. He says, "What will happen to you when you will die?" Like this. "What will happen to you when you die?" It was like, and I was like, bang, again, bolt of lightning for me. It was like, you got to be kidding. Please don't do that to me. I was just totally freaked out. Now, I went, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't anything, you know, like, what's going to happen to me when I die? What's going to happen to me? But I tried to push that all away. I remember being in this nightclub one night in Hastings somewhere, and I was trying to forget about it all, and then this music comes on, okay? Now, if you know Akka Dakka, I'm on a highway to hell, okay? No stop signs, no speed limits, nobody's going to slow me down. I'm on a highway to hell. Okay, I knew that song. I had that record. I knew that. But it was, again, it was like God was saying to me, Jeff, you are on a highway to hell. You know? And I was supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to go to a nightclub to forget about all that stuff, you know? Not to have the Lord preach at you in a nightclub using AC/DC. But that's Ron Scott. He did that to me. And, what was I going to do? So I got so desperate. And God used that. He used, people would say things to me, like my own mum. I remember overhearing my mum's talking about me, going, oh, yeah, no, Jeff, he's not a good boy. He's not a Christian, you know, I wouldn't. Because somebody was trying to matchmake me up with this girl, and he was like, she was like, no, I don't, no, he would not be good for that girl. And I heard my own mum saying that about me. How's that? Oh, man. So I got really, really desperate, and one night, one Saturday night, you know, like, I don't know where to turn to, and one Saturday night, I went into my room, I got down on my knees beside my bed, and I said to God, because I always believed in God, you know, but I said, God, I don't know what to do, I'm lost, I'm dying, I'm desperate, please help me, Lord, please help me, I don't know what to do. And that's a, by the way, that is a good place to be, right? That's not a bad place to be. That's a good place to be. And then just like the Lord came to me and lift, I felt like this burden just lift off my shoulders like that. I was, I just felt totally at peace and released and free. And I could have floated up to the ceiling, you know? I would have danced if I could have danced, like me trying to clap before. You know, it's, I could have, you know, I could have, but it just was amazing. I did some things, you know, like, I'm not saying you need to do this. What I said, I got all this music. I love my music. I worship my music. So I got all my music and I put it all in a big plastic bag and I just dropped it in the rubbish bin, you know. I went and got my plants, my dope plants that I'd been growing, and I got them and I chucked them out, you know. I should, yeah, do that one. But I'm not saying, you know, these things, all, there are things in your life, you know, that will have meaning and significance for you. And that was for me, that was 1988. So here I am today. So the words that really came to me, you know, it was amazing because I'd grown up in a church, I must have heard a lot of the scriptures and things came back to me that, and I was like, whoa, what's that? You know, is that in the Bible? That's amazing. And I'd go, and I'd say to someone, is that in the Bible? These words that have just, you know, you shall mount up with wings as eagles and you shall run and not be weary, you shall walk and not faint. And these verses too came to me in Psalm 118. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. These words have a special, if you want to say, you know, like some people say, what's your verse, what's your text? This is my text here. Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare or recount the deeds of the Lord. That God brought these to me soon after I got saved. Here you've got to write, if this is David, we know that David had a lot, in a lot of his life, he was trying to escape death, wasn't he? Why? Oh, we. He had a man called Saul after him with a big sword and a spear trying to kill him because he was so jealous of him. He was chasing him up and down the countryside, up and down the valleys and round the mountains and so on. David lived in fear of death constantly. And this writer is afraid of death, as we all are. But he has nowhere to turn. But God comes to his rescue. And he says, the Lord is, you know, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is, notice in verse 15, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. What can man do to me? So this is somebody who knows about this. Now, he says, I shall not die. Now, Think about that. Is he going to die? Well, of course he's going to die. Everybody dies, don't they? If this is David, we know that David, we read about him, that he became this old man who couldn't get warm, and eventually he passed away at a ripe old age. Physically, he died. And it says in the scriptures, it is appointed to man to die once and afterwards face the judgment. It says that in the Bible. But what he's talking about here is something deeper. And you find this when, I know that you guys have been looking at John. And in the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, Jesus talks to Mary and Martha, who have just buried their brother Lazarus. Okay? They ask Jesus to come and say, Lazarus is sick, can you come and heal him? Jesus says, let's wait a while. And then he says, I'm waiting so that God will be glorified. And of course they get there and Lazarus has already died, and they say, Jesus, why didn't you come sooner? You know, he wouldn't have died. And they get there and Lazarus has already been buried and already been put in the grave, already in the tomb. So Jesus meets Mary and Martha, and Martha comes out of the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God you will give him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, verse 25 of John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So the point is this. When the psalm writer is saying, I shall not die, but I shall live, he's talking about spiritual life, isn't he? He's talking about the fact that though our bodies will pass away and though our bodies will be laid in the grave, we never die. We will live forever because we have eternal life. We've received eternal life from God. And so I could say, you know, I shall not die, but I will live. And what does it mean to live as a Christian? You know, you're alive today, I presume you're here, your heart's beating away. But what does it mean to live as a Christian? When he says, I will live. Now, we know that he's not talking about living physically forever, but he's talking about the fact that he's spiritually alive. Because the Bible tells us that everybody is in a spiritual condition of death. Naturally, you are not spiritually alive. You're not born spiritually alive. You're born spiritually dead. And so you have to be reborn so that you live, and you live spiritually. And so, you know, a passage like John chapter 3, verse 16. You know, God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gives eternal life. John explains in the reason for writing of his gospel in John chapter 20. He says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus gives you life. He makes you alive, and the name of Jesus brings life to you. Whoever has the Son has life, 1 John 5. Whoever has the Son has life. So I could say, and you can say as a Christian, I will not die because when I pass away, I just carry on with the Lord, but I shall live because I have spiritual life from the Lord God himself in the name of Jesus. Now, one of the things that often people wonder about is, you know, why do we stick around, you know? Why are we still here? That's one of the things that puzzles a lot of people, isn't it? Why don't we just get zapped up when we become a Christian? Well, this psalm explains that a little bit, doesn't it? It says, I shall not die, but I shall live and, what? Declare the works of the Lord. Proclaim or tell others about God. So if you have received life from the Lord Jesus, and you know in your heart, if you have received life, if you have the life of God in you, and you have received life in Jesus' name, if you have that in your heart, it's something you want to talk about, isn't it? It's something you want to tell other people about. It's not something you keep to yourself. You don't go, well, hey, man, that's awesome, I'm a Christian now. That's cool, I'll just carry on. You know, like, keep calm, carry on, pretend nothing. You know, that dawned on me actually the next day. I woke up the next day after I'd prayed and God had rescued me and saved me. I woke up the next day and I was like, whoa, what happened last night? That was pretty full on. That was pretty weird. I think I became a Christian last night. Man. And then I realized, Jeff, you got a decision you're going to make here. You can ignore that and pretend like nothing ever happened, or you can decide that you're going to go on for the Lord. And I remember that very distinctly, having that conversation with myself, that I would go and declare God's works. When Jesus, after he had died on the cross and he had risen again, he gathered his disciples together outside Jerusalem, and you read about this in Acts chapter 1, and he gathers them and he says, they ask him, you know, you're going to rebuild the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. But verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What was Jesus saying to his disciples there? He says that you're going to be my witnesses. Now, what is a witness? A witness is somebody who has what? If you go to court and you call a witness, what does a witness do? They see something, eh? Or they hear something, or they know something, and they tell the court. They're under oath. They have to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. But they are there to tell only what they know to be true, not to tell a big story, not to talk about themselves or make something up. They're to tell what they know to be the truth. And if you are a Christian today, and that was the thing that dawned upon me, as I'm a Christian, and now God has called me to be one of his witnesses. God is asking me to tell others about what I know to be true. There's a passage you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Sorry, it's actually 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, and it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This is talking about the Bible. It's talking about that when you read and study the Bible, it equips you, okay, what? Not to have a big egg-shaped head, all right? Plenty of Christians around like that. You know, they've got big heads, heaps of knowledge, all right? Now, knowledge is cool, but God doesn't do that. It's just not so that you get a big egg head. It's so that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We're equipped. We can. In other words, as some people say, we are saved to serve. We are saved. The scriptures save. The scriptures sanctify us. They work godliness in us. They make us holy, and they equip us for service. And that was the thing that dawned upon me. I remember I was working for this guy probably about a year later. I was studying horticulture, and I was out working in the fields. I can't remember what I was doing. I might have been watering courgettes or weeding tomatoes or something like that. And I've been meditating on this whole thing. What was God wanting me to do? What was God calling me to do? And I distinctly remember deciding that God was calling me to go and serve him by helping God's people, by being a pastor, by being a minister, I didn't really know a whole lot of what that involved and how you go about that. I went to my minister and I said, hey, I think God wants me to be a minister. How do you do that? And he went, well, I don't really, he said, I think you have to go to university. I was like, I can't go to university. I haven't finished school. But I went, okay, I'll do that. If that's what you have to do, I'll do that. So I went and back to school. And I went to university. I went to Grace Theological College here. But the most important thing is that it is God who calls and puts his people into ministry. So here I am today. I studied at Grace Theological College, where Matthew is. That was 1995. 1997, my wife and I, Mari and I, we went down to Christchurch. The church down there didn't have a pastor. They said, come and help us for a year. And we went down for a year and they said, that was all right. Do you want to stay for another year? We said, yeah, we liked it. So we stayed for another year and they said, partway through that, they said, hey, do you want to be the pastor? And I said, okay. So we ended up in Christchurch at the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, now called Grace Presbyterian Church, for 10 years, 97 to 2007. Then we were asked to come up to Gisborne to help do a church planting work there, and that's obviously where I've just come from. Gisborne's my hometown, so that was it was a good time to spend with family and grandparents and all that kind of thing for our kids. So here I am in your church, and you guys are going to be crazy. You want me to be your pastor, but I promise I'll do my best. Okay, I'll try. I love the church. You know, I believe in the church. I believe that Jesus Christ died for the church. The Bible says that. And I will try my best with the other elders of the church here and the presbytery and the General Assembly supporting and assisting me. I will try my best. But you need to know some things about me. I'm a sinner, okay? Sinner saved by grace, all right? I'm not naturally good. Okay, I'm not nowhere near perfect. It sounds even stupid saying that. I sin against God every day in thought, word, and deed. You need to know that about me. I sin against my wife. I sin against my children. I have to apologize to my wife. I have to apologize to my children quite frequently. I hate my sin. I want to deal to my sin. And I pray for God's help, you know, to let me do that. I long to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to know that about me. Some other things. I'm frail. You know, I get sick sometimes. I get tired. I forget people's names. You know, people introduce themselves to me and I'm like, at the end of the conversation, so what was your name again? Now, it's not because I don't care about you. I don't know. It's just, who can I blame for that? I forgot their name. But anyway, I just, you know, and I may even forget appointments and things like that. I try not to. I put things in my cell phone and stuff like that. There's things. I hate confrontations and conflicts, you know. I think everybody does that. I might get angry. I might get depressed. I'm sure I do sometimes. I need a break at times. So sometimes, you know, when it's my break time, I might turn my phone off. But you're welcome to call me any other time. Try not calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm usually trying to sleep. But if it's an emergency, if somebody's gone to the hospital or if something has happened, you do that. No problems at all. But don't just ring me at 2 to say, hey, bro, you're watching TV now, you know. Don't do that, please. But seriously, though, if there are things you need, you know, I'm there. What else? You know, and obviously I'm going to disappoint you. I think I need to tell you that, you know, because sometimes people put pastors on pedestals and think they are going to do everything perfectly. And sometimes we have high expectations of pastors. We have high expectations of missionaries, don't we? And so people have high expectations of pastors that somehow they're different, but we're not. As I've already said, I'm feeble, I'm frail, I'm faltering, and you know, If you feel I've let you down, come and talk to me about it. I might even make you angry when I preach, okay? It might be just I might say something, well, that was stupid, Jeff, why'd you say that? And I'll tell you, I have stood up at the end of a sermon and I've apologized for things I've said. You know, just dumb things. You know, and I won't even tell you dumb things because it might offend you, some of those dumb things I've said. So I try and apologize in advance. But sometimes you might be angry about things I say from the scriptures. And you might come in the door and Jeff opens the Bible and he reads a passage and he preaches about something that you is big in your life right now, you know, okay? You've just gone and committed adultery, and Jeff preaches on adultery. Or you have just stolen something, and Jeff preaches on thou shalt not steal. And you think, Jeff knows, he's getting at me. All right? I don't do that. I don't preach sermons at people. I had some of that when I was growing up, and I hate that. Okay? So I always avoid that. So that's why I do systematic Bible teaching. I preach through the Bible so that when you come in the door and I'm preaching about thou shalt not steal and you've just been flogging stuff, that is the Lord speaking to you, okay? Because I probably don't know, all right? And by the way, it also makes it harder if you do know that some people are struggling with things and you've got to preach on it and you've got to be really sensitive about that. So just come and talk to me. Don't get offended or whatever. The other thing I guess I need to say is that I can't do this on my own. It's obvious. And that's why it's so good to be able to come in here and see a church that's functioning and doing stuff, and want to acknowledge you guys for carrying on and over the past couple of years. It's been awesome. So as you were, folks, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing those ministries. Don't go, oh, Jeff's here. We'll leave it to him. No, don't do that, please, because I can't. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop just because I'm here. Obviously at the moment it's a little bit difficult because I'm only part of me is here. You know, I'm a yin and yang. My yang is still in Gisborne, or my yin, I don't know. I've got a son up in Howick. I'll bring him next Sunday. He's boarding up there, so that's Hayden. He's 15. So pray that we would be reunited so I can be whole again. And I have my kids with them. I miss my kids and I miss my wife. So I'm really happy to be here. God, I believe, has called me into the ministry. He has very clearly set that path ahead of me. I know that I'm alive for a purpose. I know that I'm alive to preach the gospel. So don't be shy to call me or text me, or if you want to catch up with me, I'm more than glad and more than happy to do that. It's been good to see some of you and catch up with some of you already. I think my plan for the next wee while is just to get to know you, get to know people, find out more about you, find out who you are, and so you can ask me questions and so on. And just to sort of get a feel for where things are at here. What can I do? Well, as I said, I'm saved by grace. I love God's word. I love teaching God's word. I love helping people to prepare for leadership, to teach deeper things of scripture, smaller things of scripture. I've surprised myself. I love spending time with children. Back in Gisborne, I was a chaplain of a primary school, and I also did the Bible in schools. So I've been along here and helped with Christine and Rob and on the Breakfast Club, and that was awesome. I love that sort of thing. And just want to say that this talk today that I'm doing right now is kind of breaking all my own rules, because I'm talking about myself, okay? And I wouldn't normally do that, but I thought, you know, once every 10 years is probably all right. Don't tell on me, okay? Last Sunday, what was your sermon about? Jeff just talked about himself. You know, I thought I'd get it out of the way. We'll get into expounding God's word. But that's enough about me. Every Christian knows these verses, eh? Every Christian can identify with the words in these verses. You and I, we were once dead in our trespasses and in our sins, alienated from God, enemies of God, without God, without hope in the world, dying. You know, you once looked, if you're a Christian today, you know that once you looked at death, and when you looked at death, all you saw what was a hole in the ground, and that was your future. That was the end of it. But God has come into your life, and He has done something. He has brought you life, eternal life, life in the name of Jesus. And you have received that, and you know that, and you look forward to that, and you live in hope, you live with joy, you live with expectation, you live with a future, not just with a hole in the ground in front of you. And let me ask you that question that was asked of me. What will happen to you if you were to die tonight? What would happen to you if you were to die tonight? Do you know for sure that you have eternal life? Do you know for sure that you are safe with God? Because if you don't know, you need to know for sure. You need to receive eternal life. You can't go through life not knowing. And you can't go through life ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." If you want to know more about that, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know what it means to be a Christian, if you don't know what it means to have life in Jesus' name, come and talk to me. Come and talk to someone else in the church you trust and know, and ask them if they can help you. And maybe they can pray for you. And if you have trusted in Jesus' name, you are still here. You haven't been zapped away. You are still here for a reason. You're still here for a purpose. God has still got a work for you to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? When you get up in the morning, you say, "Lord, what would you have me to do? How do you want me to serve you today?" Maybe you need to go home and have a talk with your family about that. How can we serve? You know, what do we enjoy doing? Who are the people that are in our lives that we bump into, that we meet, that we see? Who can I share the love of God with? Who can I tell about God's good deeds, God's salvation, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, in whatever way we can? So pray for me, and I will pray for you. And we will, by God's help, by God's grace, we will seek to bring glory to His name. That's all that counts, eh? Glorifying and enjoying the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty and ever blessed God, You are the first, You are the last, You are the beginning, You are the end of all things. And here we are, as frail and sinful creatures, whom You have saved, whom You have rescued, whom You have brought to Yourself. And we confess, Lord God, that we are sinners. We sin against You in thought and word and action each and every day. And we come and we confess those sins to You now and pray for Your forgiveness. But we come with joy and hope, knowing that we are beloved. You love us in Christ Jesus, and we are accepted in Him. Lord God, we know that we have passed from death into life. We now know that we have eternal life, which shall never be taken away from us. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the deeds of the Lord. Lord, we are here to serve You. We are here to declare Your deeds, to speak of Your wonderful goodness and grace. So, Father, would You take us and use us? Here I am, send me. And anoint my lips that I may speak of the honor of Your name. We love You, Lord, and we pray your glory and your honor would be advanced. Through Jesus' name, amen.